Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat, to grow into a wise, skilled, world-changing follower of Jesus Christ. With theologian and pastor Chad Graham, author and pastor Al Degenau, and your host, Steve Bastian.
Ready? Are you ready, Chad?
I'm ready!
Wicked. This is going to be awesome. Okay, so we should start with some welcome and announcements, actually, because this is our first official episode of the season. We've had, months ago, we had this season two episode thing, but this is our first official episode of the season. So I wanted to kick this off and just kind of say, here's a few things going on in our life. Chad, what's been going on in your life for the last couple months?
Not much. You?
Not much, he says. What town do you even live in now?
Oh, well, there is that. If you're looking for some minor things.
Give us the cliff notes.
Okay, the cliff notes. We now live at Edmonton.
All right.
Edmonton is a wonderful city. It's warm all year round. And basically, the weather drew me here.
The weather. It was the weather. That's good.
It was primarily the weather. And also the University of Alberta School of Law and the Center for Constitutional Studies.
What about the winning hockey team?
And the winning hockey team. Connor McDavid is the primary reason that I'm here. All else in life is totally irrelevant.
All right. And what are you doing in Edmonton?
Well, ultimately, I'm hoping to work towards a terminal research degree in the theological underpinnings of common law. Basically, what I want to do is help to better understand the reason that you enjoy the political and personal freedoms that you do in Canada and track where some of them have come from and how, as things are changing today, we can cope with it, we can counter it, some things, and other things we can appreciate.
Me and Steve, I'll speak on his behalf, and all the listeners, we are 100% behind you, looking forward to seeing what God does with you and your many studies. As of this recording, you're jacking up on caffeine, you're working on 3 hours sleep, and it wasn't it your previous doctorate that you were working on that has you up?
So I'm just about done. I'm just about done. That one? Before just submitted my defense draft.
And how many weeks until you start the next one?
No, not a matter of weeks, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Awesome. So Chad needs your prayers, folks.
Yes.
And so did his family.
So, by the way, from now on, Al and Steve have to refer to me as the Right Reverend Doctor.
I will be happy to do that. I'd be happy to do that. You just make sure that you earn it. Because you're not there yet, my friend. You're not there yet.
I'm fine. I'm going home.
All right. Well, according to my news, thanks for asking, Chad.
Oh, yeah. So back it up. L, what city are you living in again?
I'm still in Ottawa. I don't move. I'm in Carleton Place, Ontario. Okay. I haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah, I never did ask you that question. So I've never been sure where you are.
Yeah, it's because we talk about, we have these little adventures. And just so everybody knows, we've had this a few times where people wonder, we go on these dramatic adventures where we all sound like we're together, but we're actually in different cities all around the country.
The magic of radio.
It's the magic of radio.
We don't actually have the best frequent flyer miles of anyone you know.
No, exactly. Or the time or energy. Exactly. But I'm living in Carleton Place, Ontario, still serving the same church, loving the same church, loving the people, thoroughly enjoying being a pastor here. This last couple months has been weird. Y'all know about my Bell's palsy that I got from the last update. That has been getting much, much better. Went through a time of some pain and frustration, but it's so much better now. Every day, a tiny bit better. I can say P's and B's now, which is good. F is not too bad. And I can blink pretty much on command. Can't do it automatically, but I can do it on command. So it's really, really good. I guess the other thing is that my book came out, which is great. It's if you want to look at the Art of the Christian Ninja book,
yes.
It's on Amazon. You can get a hard copy. You can get a soft copy. We're trying to work it out to put it on other formats. But right now, if you want to get it,
go to Amazon. It's not available on Kindle yet. Am I correct on that?
It is on Kindle. Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. So you can get an ebook through Kindle. So yeah, that's sort of been my summer. We went camping a couple times and got rained on.
That's a great book, and I think that the preface is probably the best part of it.
Actually, I think it is too. Without question, the preface is the best. You should really look into this guy. He's an up and comer, is what I would say. He's an up and comer.
Anyway, it's a good book, and I somewhat endorse it. And Steve, let's get Steve's update.
Oh, Steve, how's Steve doing? Unfortunately, Steve, because he's working so hard, wasn't able to be with us on our first episode, our maiden voyage of season 3. But he's heartbroken because
by working hard he means he's at a buffet.
He's what do they call that? Networking with his people.
Networking.
He's networking. Yes. I think that's what he's doing. Yeah, it involves hotels in the tropics of Canada. I think he's in Kelowna, suffering unto the Lord. It's an awful
suffering.
Time. Yeah,
it's like a John Piper sermon.
Okay, we got to do some announcements. We'll do these real quick. Number one, we have a YouTube channel. And if you don't know, this is a podcast, which means that it is something that we edit for audio. We release through iTunes and through podcast, but it's also on YouTube. So check it out. Check us out on YouTube. We're putting out a brand new thing there that we're calling CT Shorts, Carnivore Theology Shorts, where we're going to be doing some walk-in videos and some off-the-cuff stuff, some unscripted things.
And so, we always wear bicycle shorts.
Well, you won't know because you only see the face part, okay?
Unless just imagine that. Every time you see Al's face, he's wearing his bicycle shorts.
That's right. You don't know what's happening from the belly button down. You just don't
know.
Who
wears short shorts?
All right. Next announcement. We got all these new intros, new quality, new content. We've really, really worked hard over the summer to make season 3 different and better. So we really encourage you to take a look.
Al has spared no expense in new technology, time, and effort. Meanwhile, I've done nothing.
Facebook. The shares are so important on Facebook. Yes. The thumbs up and the likes on YouTube are important. If you think it's interesting, something that we've done is actually worth watching, we really would like it if you'd send it and share it and like it and do the kind of stuff. It just takes a second to hit the button, but it encourages us and it actually pushes our content a little bit further so other people can see it.
The algorithms that do display and search on there are affected by that. So if all three of our faithful listeners would like and share each broadcast, we might get a fourth listener.
Mathematically speaking, we could get a fourth listener within 2017. I think that's how it works, Last announcement, we need your questions. Don't forget to send in your questions through SpeakPipe, through email, through Facebook comments, through whatever it is. We even have Twitter. We got on the Twitter, even though Twitter's going down the tubes. We're still there. So send in your questions. It'll feed what we do in future episodes all the way through the season. Okay? Are you ready to kick off the episode part of this episode?
I'm ready!
Oh, yeah. We're done with the announcements?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, I zoned out. I even bored myself. Today, we're going to talk about an absolutely imperative concept. In fact, we are going to talk today about the most powerful force in the world, a power so great that it has toppled governments, brought the dead back to life, and will ultimately be the foundation of the eternal destiny of every man, woman, and child on Earth.
Good gravy, Chad. What is this amazing and powerful force you speak of?
It is the access that we have to the God of the universe through prayer.
That's amazing. You know what? I've had prayer in my mind, and this is a great place to start season 3 because I've really been chewing this on this idea of prayer for the past while, and it's been something that has been on my heart. I was going to do this in a CT short, but I just wanted to spend some time chewing on it because I've met a lot of new Christians, a lot of new people come to the church, and one of the things that you want to teach these people, and for that matter, all the way through Christian discipline and Christian discipleship, you want to teach them about prayer. And you want to teach them the importance
Unlike
of it.
Al, instead of just chewing on it, I've actually prayed quite a bit through the summer.
I like to just think about things. Yeah, no, exactly. And so I want to ask you a couple questions, Chad, and see if we can get our discussion going here without Steve around. But because he's really the glue that holds this whole thing together. My first question to you, Chad, is this. Why is prayer so hard? Like, why, if it's just, because it's simplistic in its in its concept, all we have to do is talk to the God of the universe who is always available and always listening, who loves us more than anything, who sent his son to die on the cross for us, so there's nothing he won't give us, there's nothing he won't do for us. So what makes prayer so hard? Yeah. Why do we keep fighting with this generation after generation?
I have three things, in my opinion, that I think are universal, and then others will have more specific things. The first one is very simple. It is an utter ignorance of what prayer is. Hmm. We have an idea that prayer is something like when we have a crisis, we ask God to fix something. Hmm. The word prayer has migrated its meaning a little bit, but really prayer has to do with conversation with God. Prayer is both listening to God and speaking to God. Now, there's some theological issues and some right ways to do these things. I'm not getting into that right now. But people don't understand what prayer is, and so they don't realize what's going on. The book of Hebrews tells us that in our prayers, we actually are coming with unfettered access before the throne of God. So to put it in our context, right now in Canada today, if you were told that at any time that you wanted, day or night, you could walk into the Prime Minister's office in Ottawa and ask him for anything, and that he really cared about you, and that he would do what he could to work with you, would you just sort of ignore that privilege? And then maybe once a year when something bad happened, you'd say, oh, yeah.
Right, right, right. How often would you pick up the phone and make that phone call? Yeah. You know, would it be every day?
Yeah,
know?
Of course. So that's number one. Number two, and this one I'll be even briefer on. so number one is we don't really understand what prayer is. Number two is that we live in a world where there is the tyranny of the self-king. It doesn't matter if we're Christians, we're still impacted by our culture. And our culture has told us that I am the ultimate measure of everything. And prayer is getting outside myself and realizing that I'm not sufficient. We're taught to save for a rainy day and take care of ourselves. We're taught to buy ourselves out of trouble. If my light goes out, I buy a new light bulb and fix it. And I think that's a simple thing, but I extrapolate that into anything in life.
Yeah.
You know, Al recently went through an illness. His probably first impulse was, let's get to the doctor. Let's get this fixed. What kind of medicine can I take? We're just going to fix it because we can, generally speaking, in our culture. And so we have that. And so we think of ourselves as self-kings. This affects all kinds of things, but it affects prayer tremendously because prayer is the recognition that God is king.
To the point where we will almost feel bad burdening God with our trivial problems, you know, we don't want to waste his time because we should be able to handle that. In fact, the old tired phrase, God helps those who help themselves, which is in fact terrible, terrible theology, because that is absolutely not true what the Bible, it's not in the Bible at all.
Isn't it but in the book of Al chapter 5?
No. Al hates that phrase. Absolutely. The Book of Al is completely dedicated to buffet locations and recipes for treats.
Ah, right, right. I knew that. Yes.
That idea of God helps those who help themselves, if you tie it into what you just said about we believe we should be able to take care of ourselves, really, what do we need God for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What was your third one?
So first one was that we don't really understand what prayer is. Second one is the tyranny of the self. And the third one, and I think that is really important as well, is... And I debated back and forth on what to attribute this to, so I'm going to kind of attribute it to a more general thing, is distraction.
Mm.
I think that can be spiritual, that can be spiritual warfare, which the Bible discusses with the powers that exist in the universe, but it can also be even more mundane than that with our Facebook and our telephone and our friends and our things. But whatever it is, we're being distracted from prayer. If we really understood what prayer was, and if we got away from the tyranny of the self-king, and submitted ourselves to God properly, I think that would take care of the third one naturally. But because of those first two, the third one, I think, becomes all-encompassing. So you sit down to pray, and you start, and you're about 30 seconds into your planned, you know, marathon of prayer, and you have nothing to say, and you don't know where to go, and so you're done. Or you go to sit down to pray, and one of the kids calls you. Or you go to sit down and pray, and your Facebook alert buzzes, and then you're surfing for an hour, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the source of that, I'm given the broad categories. I think those are my three.
Well, it's really interesting because you talk about that sort of globalization of us coming to God in prayer. And all of your sort of understanding of this or the way you spoke of it was we're coming to God with our needs. We're coming to God with our desires. We're coming to God with our hopes. And we're coming to God with our problems, right? And And as long as that's our motivation, then it becomes, you know, like we can put that off. We can deal with it ourselves. But you had a little nugget in there that you said, and I want to chew on that a bit, because if our motivating force is actually our love for our Father, our desire to be with our Father, our heart, because Jesus knows us, Jesus loves us, Jesus wants to know us better. We want to know him better. We've actually seen results from prayer, and that's something we actually want to explore. Then it's not a, we're not pushing ourselves to prayer. We're being pulled towards prayer, which is a much different thing. Because when the kid comes and he bangs on the door, or the Facebook dings, you're like, you know what? This is way better. I want to be here. That's different. Yeah. It's interesting you came up with those three, because I came up with four, which means I'm better than you.
Well, of course,
but, but one of them, they kind of overlap. When I came up with them, I thought number one was God's invisible and prayer is strange. That's one thing. So if you're a new believer, or you're just someone who doesn't understand spirituality yet, because it's sort of, you went from the physical realm, now you're in the spiritual realm. Yep. It is strange. There is something to it that is different. God doesn't have a physical body that you can come. You don't hear his voice audibly. So it's a little bit different. So there is some strangeness to it.
That's why Steve uses rosary beads and icons.
Now, there you go. See, if you could just sit beneath, say, a giant idol. If you were to build it large in gold, I think it would probably... No, that'd probably be a terrible, terrible idea. No. Okay, number two. And this kind of ties to what you said. Prayer is a discipline. The word you didn't use was discipline. And again, that makes me better than you.
Yeah.
And it requires practice. Like, we have these lives that are busy, and we have lost our ability to be attentive to things, and we have a lack of vocabulary. But all those things are built through discipline and practice. Mm-hmm. You get better at doing something by doing it. You choose to discipline yourself and say, I'm not going to be busy. I'm going to lock myself in the closet. That requires discipline. And because people lack discipline, they want it to happen quickly. Or for that matter, they have a misunderstanding to believe that it will happen quickly just by virtue of the fact that they're Christian now. Well, now I'm a Christian, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to sit down here and do it, and not realize that it actually does require some work and some dedication and some discipline.
And there's probably a sense of that, the microwave culture as well.
Yeah.
I tried praying, didn't work.
I tried praying, it didn't work, yeah. The third thing I came up with, we have a spiritual enemy that actually hates it when we pray. And therefore, we actually have someone that is working against us. Not only the world, as in the busyness of our lives, but actually Satan and demons don't want us to pray. So they'll do what they can to tempt us in the wrong direction. And then, as you said, the people don't understand what prayer is for. So if they come to God like Santa Claus and they say, God, you know,
here's my Christmas list.
Fix Aunt so-and-so, and I have an issue with this, and can I have some money, and my car is broke. Amen. You have 12 hours.
As Creflo Dollar said, God don't want no broken down people.
Actually, I believe the Bible says he prefers we come to him humbly and contrite.
Right.
But, you know, then you want to quit because it didn't work. But that's a misunderstanding of what prayer is and who God is and what our relationship with God is like. So, yeah.
Elvis, this is amazing, because although I was more succinct, we actually said the exact same things.
We did. I just said it a little bit, maybe 8% better.
Well, obviously, yeah.
So I want to get personal on this one. So what has your personal prayer journey actually been like? Like, as you, from when you were saved or when you were a kid or with your parents growing up.
Yeah.
To where you are now, which running on caffeine and prayer is all you're doing right now. So what's your personal prayer journey been like?
Like Bon Jovi, I'm living on a prayer.
Living on a prayer.
I'm halfway there.
Hey, you could be like Aerosmith and living on the edge. So you got to be
a little bit better. Yeah, I could pray on the edge. Okay, my journey. Well, you know what? I don't think it's a very tremendous story of any kind, but I would say that prayer has grown for me and changed for me and matured for me. I think there are, as a child, I prayed more or less functionarily, right? You pray at mealtimes, you pray at bedtime, you pray when needs arise. I came to understand prayer later as a discipline, probably in high school youth group experiences a little bit, and then primarily in college when I took a spiritual disciplines course and tried to do things there. So I learned, you know, you pray when you read the scriptures and you try to have a bit of an interactive time with God, that sort of thing. You discipline yourself to prayer. And then I think a major advance from that was when I was in seminary and we took a course that required us to keep a prayer journal, and particularly to do 1 hour of prayer a day.
Mm.
which at first was a daunting sounding challenge. Now, I think anybody could pray for an hour in a day, but I would challenge any of our listeners now, wait till the episode's over, then start your stopwatch and try and pray for 1 hour without stopping.
Yeah.
But so that was a growth thing for me to learn how to do that and what that might look like, and then actually to find that it was quite easy once you knew how to pray. And then from there, I think the more recent step for me, just through experience and living with God and growing, you grow closer to Him as you live the life of prayer. And I think the thing that sort of helped me the most recently had just been thinking about praying. I don't know what term to use. Historically is the wrong word, but in the broader picture of the church, to understand that I don't need to reinvent the wheel. Looking back at great resources, the Valley of Vision Puritan book kind of thing, some people are interested in Cranmer's Book of Common Prayer, which has a wonderful strategy of reading scripture and praying in response. And there's just these different kind of things, and not necessarily following any one of them exactly, but being exposed to them and thinking through outside yourself and get away from that tyranny of me. And one of the things in common prayer is you pray in the plural all the time, right? We pray this. And the idea is to realize that, yeah, this is the Christian church praying. We're part of something. So if I'm only thinking about my Aunt Betsy's big toe and my upcoming electricity bill because I live in Ontario like hell, or whatever it is that I'm worried about, I'm really me-focused and not God-focused. And so I think those help. So that's my journey. It's not super dramatic or exciting, but it's just sort of been a growth of exploring and coming to a little deeper and more comfortable prayer life. And just to add to that, the times when I've grown the most, those are knowledge jumps that I sort of explained, but my experience jumps have been when I've gone through deeper strugglings. And those would be three times coming out of high school and going into college where I was challenged with teachings that I'd never come across before, where we're liberal theology or attacks on scripture and wanting to research it. So I began to read scripture more heavily, seeking answers in the scripture. And as I did that, just being excited in my heart and responding in prayer. I remember some nights in college doing that, reading through the whole books, say the book of 1 Timothy, but pausing kind of at every paragraph and just praying about it and being excited about it. That was neat. Going through pastoral crises with people and just having no resources and needing the power of God and just spending, in those cases, literally hours in prayer. And one time reading through Psalm 119, and seeing the prayers that were going on in there and starting to feel like, whoa, this is really like my life. So those kind of things have really experientially deepened me in prayer, I think. And so those two, the experiences and the understandings have kind of come together to make my prayer life grow.
Wow, cool.
Now your personal private issues, Al.
Well, it's actually the, I'll start with a similar thing to you, like perfunctory prayer. I think that's where we all start. We start with your mom and your dad or your church and your Sunday school teacher or whatever telling you to pray, when to pray, why to pray, how to pray.
Yeah.
Here's a prayer to pray. A lot of people get saved because they pray the prayer in the back of the pamphlet.
Pray the prayer. Yeah.
You know? And so that's how a lot of baby Christians start. I'll fast forward to because our stories are similar, to say that it wasn't until I had become a pastor that I really, as you said, learn to need God. God is my king. I needed to obey him. God's word needed to guide me. But when it came to actually needing to be on my knees, because I've struggled so long with this love relationship with God, I've seen God as my Lord, God as my king, God as my savior, God as the creator of the universe. But when it comes to be the God who loves me and the God that I love, that's been something that I've struggled with. And so that will directly affect your prayer life. Because if it's all about God being your king, then you're going to come to him as you would come to a king. Here's my issue. Here's my deal. You know, tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it and I'll go do it. Whereas if you come to the lover of your soul, the friend of sinners, then it's a very different relationship. And it wasn't until I was really broken down 2009, really, really crushed, that I started to have to figure out the fact that it wasn't just about coming to God for my marching orders, but coming to the one who loves me and the one who I desperately need to be touched by the Holy Spirit. I desperately need, not just guidance, but also just to have him shore up my foundations because they were falling apart. I needed him to get the bailing buckets out and to open up the dark parts of my heart. And as I worked through that deep need, God met me in special ways. And then as I tried to figure out the discipline side of it, how do I do this and do it regularly, not just when I need it, but when, but to be consistently coming to God for my daily bread, to consistently come to my Father for my, for that daily shot of love from Him. I learned how I connect to God, not how the prayer book tells me to connect to God, not how the other people in my life connect to God, like, and just how do I do it? And for me, that became a, like, it may, that's me not sound so seismic to you. It may not even sound that big a deal, but it was a huge deal to me when I figured out that there's a certain way that I connect to God better.
Yeah, of course.
So, and, so on that tone, let me just kind of slide into the last question here, which is some practical ways that we've learned to help with our prayer life. And so for me, the way that I found that I connect to God best in prayer is writing my prayers down. I have a article on my blog that's called Spiritual Journaling Using Scripture as Your Guide, where I kind of outline what I do. But for me, it was a matter of when I got into the Bible, read a passage of Scripture, and then I start talking to God about it with my pen, literally writing out my prayer. Just, you know, Lord, this is what I see here today. This is what I think you said to me. It reminds me of something you said. This is a need I have. This is what's going on in my life. This is what's going on in my wife's life. This word really jumped out at me, and it reminds me of this. God, it tells me about this sin in my life, and I write it down. I write it down. Then I go to the next piece of Scripture. And it hits me in a different way. And sometimes I will have a literal conversation with God because it'll start here and God will answer the question that I had, or God will clear something up or show me what I need to ask forgiveness for by the third or fourth scripture in line.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll be a conversation.
Let me ask you some follow-up questions to that, because again, so I didn't write so much in the same way that you did, but that's very much a large part of my own experience is praying through as I'm reading Scripture and interacting with it. But now I've got to say this carefully, because I certainly don't want to impugn the intelligence of the average carnivore theology listener, which is clearly superior. But generally speaking, and I think, so let's put it this way, if you're one of the people who are asking about prayer, not sure where to go and what to do, I assume that probably means that you're not an experienced Christian. And that, right? So that's the kind of person I'm thinking of. So when I ask this. So for Al, you're doing that. Okay. But an inexperienced Bible reader and an inexperienced prayer person is going to do what you did there. And, you know, you mentioned certain things. This word jumped out at me. Well, you know, maybe they're going to pick a weird word that jumps out of them, but that's not what the Scriptures are saying. You know, what would you suggest would be helpful to follow in your patterns if it works? How could someone do that if they're kind of a novice?
I'll show it on the video here, but on the podcast, what you'll see is I have five bookmarks. And
look at that Bible. You've actually read that.
This thing is a mess, isn't it? Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And therefore, as we learn Scripture and as we read Scripture, I think as we get to know it and it becomes part of our life, the idea of importing our own ideas to it becomes maybe less dangerous because we're actually living in it. Obviously, yeah. It's still a danger. But at the same time, I would say this to a novice who's doing this, you don't need five bookmarks. You need one or two. Make sure you're reading through the New Testament. And you read part of the Old Testament, start in the Psalms, and read the context, and don't go fast. Don't try to get the whole chapter done. Don't try to go through a read the Bible in a year thing. Just read it
Wait. You're saying don't try to read the Bible in a year?
I'm trying. Yeah, exactly.
Pastor Al says don't try to read the Bible in a year. Okay, I got
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. What I want you to do when it comes to your devotional life, your prayer life, you should be sitting there and ask God, start with this. God, what do you want to show me here? This is a conversation. This is your word to me. I'm not coming to this to try to figure out what I already think to your word. Yeah. Show me in this word what you want to say to me. And the biggest change that happened in my life was the day I figured out that God's word, the Bible, was written for me, not the world, not all followers, not John Calvin, not professionals, not just some people, not a broad stroke, but literally was God's message to me, His living word, His Holy Spirit in my room, in my closet, talking to me, which means what He's going to say here is practically applicable to my life and spiritually applicable to my soul. therefore, God, what do you have to say to me? And if you, I think if you start there, if you start getting some screwy things, you start hearing some stuff, there's other things you got to do. Like, for example, talk to your pastor, talk to your Christian friends, send a question to Carnivore Theology. You know, like, this is what I'm seeing, so check it out. But I think if you start there with an open heart and an open mind to seeing what God has, you're going to get a lot further in your prayer life.
So let me, I'm going to push back just to get your feedback again on this, because because again, this is a practice that I do is on a regular basis as well. But just in catching what you said there, because I think I know what your heart is when you're saying it, but the Bible actually wasn't written to you. It's not a message to you. It's an old book written thousands of years ago to people who lived in a real time with real problems. And so when Paul wrote to them to forgive the brother who offended them, he was writing about a real brother who had really offended some real people. So when you say it's written to me in the Holy Spirit, because I agree with you, but what does that mean? Because that's all the cult started. Joseph Smith, Judge Taze Russell, these guys all said, oh, we're not going to follow the church's teaching. We're going to go afresh the Bible just for me. And they went in the closet and the Spirit spoke to them and they came up with their cult.
Yeah. Well, and again, we should get into another episode on how to interpret the Bible properly.
And I'm not looking for that. I'm just trying to think of the average novice listener who wants to copy Pastor L.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that they have a good idea of what that looks like.
Okay, let me give you the number one word that comes to mind, which is the word humble. Come to the Bible humbly. As in, assume you don't know what God wants to tell you that day. Assume that the words that you're reading, your interpretation of them may not be 100%. Therefore, you may need some clarity for them.
Yeah.
Assume that you need some tools if you do get confused, but assume also that God will speak to you.
Yeah.
And that he is going to talk to you through the word and through your spirit. And so I think if you come humbly, not proudly, not looking to justify yourself, not looking to try to figure some new piece of theology out that nobody's ever heard of ever because you're so special, not coming so that you can take Instagram photos of your Bible so that you can show off how great you are, but coming humbly to the word.
Wait, what? But those can go together though.
No. I think personally that the Instagram photo is exactly the same thing as the Pharisees who stood on the street corners crying out their prayers.
Just wait a second. Delete.
Okay, well, we're good. We're on the same page, Al, as I always have been. Yeah. Now, when you tithe, Chad, do you do it in nickels to make the biggest noise? Because that may be a problem, too. Okay, we got to wrap this up. Okay.
All right, I got two suggestions.
Let me give one more.
Okay,
just because I'm done. Concentric circles. When you pray, if you're looking for a prayer list or a prayer prompt, prayer prompt.
Yep.
Pray in concentric circles. Start with yourself. What's your issue with God? What's your issue with yourself? And what's your issue with your relationships in your life? But then work your way out. Your wife, your kids, your family, your school, your flatmates, your whatever's going on around you. Work your way out to your extended family, your church, the missionaries that are supported by the church. Work your way out to your country, your province, issues around the globe. So if you talk about how to pray for an hour, man, if you start concentrically working on your issues and work your way out to the global crises and the economic issues throughout the planet, you'll be there for a while.
All right. I got two resources that I think that have helped me and that I think would be helpful to anybody. I'm just picking two, and I'm picking what I think might be the most helpful two. There are many other ones, and like you said earlier, Al, different people will connect with different things.
And if we come up with these things, maybe we'll throw them in a CT short.
Yeah. One is a little booklet, or a little book by Dick Eastman called The Hour That Changes the World. Absolutely amazing book. This one I got, the one I was talking about getting in seminary, learning to pray for an hour through it. It teaches a system for thinking about prayer and having a little bit broader. And I was saying, we've got the idea that prayer is just sort of asking God for stuff. That's a petition. That's an aspect of prayer. But prayer includes meditation and praise and confession and intercession and thanksgiving. And prayer can include, this is kind of sound weird to some people, prayer includes singing if it's done rightly. Prayer includes reading the scripture if it's done rightly.
Which is never done rightly if Chad's doing it. But
fair enough. Yeah. but if Al or Steve or you are a fair listener are doing it. So that book will help you to understand that, how to make those kind of things prayer. So I highly, highly recommend that. Dick Eastman, The Hour That Changes the World, will put a link to it, I think, with this podcast. The second thing is getting into one of the bigger historical things. And the reason I say that, and I'll recommend this one, I think I might have mentioned already, but it's the Book of Common Prayer, which was done by Cranmer. And what happens in there is that this is a really, really solid theologian who has thought through how to make an entire culture biblically literate. And so it's prayers that are based on Scripture and readings of Scripture that interact perfectly together. So you read Scripture, pray, and you know, what Elle and I both do and you want to be able to do on your own, this is sort of a prompt that helps you to begin to think about how to do that. It gives you language and concepts that will help you to become better and better at doing that. So those are just two. There are other things that I've appreciated as well.
You know what? We're going to wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much for listening. We look forward to seeing Steve back, but we will talk to you guys later. And hopefully you can use those tools. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us how your prayer life goes. Yes. What's that been like? And what kind of struggles have you been through? What victories have you seen? And in what ways can you share some help with others? All good, Chad?
Goodbye, my friends.
See you later, everybody.
To find out more about carnivore theology, or if you've got any topics or questions you'd like us to cover on upcoming episodes, let us know by visiting our website, www.carnivoretheology.com. You can also leave a message on our SpeakPipe page. That's at www.speakpipe.com/carnivoretheology. If you like what we're doing, please share with your church and friends. Like us on Facebook, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Are you ready to kick off the episode part of this episode?
Oh, yeah. We're done with the announcements?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, I zoned out. I even bored myself.
Steve's not here. I don't know how to make a transition.
Yeah. all right. Carnivore Theology, the podcast that takes your money. No. I don't know what we do, but we do it good.
It's funny. We've done this now 75 times.
And but only Steve knows what to say.
If we were to try to replicate what Steve says, we just can't do it. We need you, Steve-O. Come back to us, buddy.
Well, welcome to the behind-the-scenes vodcast of Carnivore Theology, the podcast that helps you grow from milk to meat.
Dedicated to
become wise, from milk to skilled.
Meat. World-changing.
Yeah, not Jesus-changing followers of the world, but world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. And today, little side note, guys in our church in Calgary started, we were taking electronic payment donations. And so when the offering plate would get passed around, they wouldn't give. And they started getting concerned that people would notice. I never even thought of this. But they were talking to me saying they started to feel uncomfortable because they were constantly just passing the plate on because they were giving electronically. Yep. And I said, well, nobody's looking at you. Well, I feel like people were looking at me. Anyway, so then they're thinking, I want to get like a shirt. And on the back of it, when the plate's coming around, it's going to kind of stand up and kind of shift around a little bit. On the back of the shirt, it says, I give electronically.
That's not a bad idea.
Anyway.
Actually, you could do a different. Pass the tap machine around. That new tap thing they have.
Yes.
Ding, and then ding. It's done. Just done. Yep.